You're listening to another great show from the Nod Network. Find more great content at nerdod.com.
This is Whiskey and Words. I'm David Olson, and I'm joined today by poet Gemma Reed.
Hi.
Hello. Gemma's here today to share a few of her poems, and we're going to discuss what those mean to her, what they mean to me, because of course all my questions will be coming from my own point of view, which is weird with poetry for you all to hear my view on poems. While we go through some stuff, we've got a bottle of Jura Origin here with us today as well, which I like very much. It's in the same family as Dalmore, which I've reviewed before, and with another poet, in fact. Oh. So that all kind of
very
works
fitting.
Together nicely. Yeah, I thought so. So welcome. Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for being a part of this.
Thank you for having me.
So the poems that you've got here, I like poetry a lot because it's something which I don't really ever do. I've tried a few times, but it's not me. But I really enjoy it when I get a chance to read it and when I get to hear it out loud.
Yeah.
Is this the way you've always written? Have you always been a poet, or have you?
Because I started writing at university, we had to do, we were forced to do the different things. We did script writing, we did novels and short stories, and I just wasn't very good at any of the other bits. So poetry was the only bit that I could sort of feasibly do to pass my degree. I think it's because it's short, and I'm not very good at writing longer things, and my poems aren't even particularly long. But yeah, I just sort of fell into it that way rather than being a conscious choice.
Well, as I said with poetry, isn't it? Is it doesn't have to be long. You can have huge like epic poems over the years, or you can have quite short things which still have that kind of emotional impact that you want to put across in your writing.
Yeah, I think the thing that did it for me was instead of a dissertation, we had to do a major project, and your choice was to write 10,000 words of a novel, or so many pages of a script, or sort of 25 poems. And I was thinking, I could write 25 poems, that seems easier. That seems quicker. It wasn't when I started. But
I mean, and you say easy as well. I mean, you've still got to have that talent for it, haven't you? You've still got to have that way with the words, no matter which way you apply them, I guess, right?
So yeah, I mean, the thing that I didn't think of at the time was that I had to come up with 25 separate ideas, which was probably the most difficult part, but you still... Even though they're short, they still take such a long time to write and edit, and every word counts, so every word has such a lot of weight that you've got to think about every single word in the poem, whereas if you were writing a novel, you could get away with a couple of words.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of words being and.
Yeah, I know that all too well, yeah. So I mean, there being a number of different styles of poem, do you have a preferred style of poem, or...?
Well, definitely just free verse and short. I mean, all of my poems are probably half an A4 sheet when they're all written out, and not very good at rhyming or, trying to fit it into a certain number of syllables or words or to make it into sort of a structured poem. So they're usually quite free-flowing and very short.
Yeah. Well, I know all about short writing. So you mentioned that doing it at university.
Yes.
So, but did you write before that? Did you go in? I mean, I assume you must have to a degree to go and do a degree course.
Yeah.
You must have wanted to do that.
I mean, it's not a very interesting story of how I went into it, but I was accepted to do history at university, and I decided that I didn't want to do that because I just didn't want to, and I was sort of thinking about what I could do, whether I should not do anything, and I've always been quite an avid reader. From being a child, and all my parents are sort of quite average readers as well, and that's how it's sort of come about. And it was a boy that I fancied at sixth form, and his grandfather is a screenwriter, scriptwriter, and he just said, you read all these books about murder and crime and things, you should write a book about murder and crime. And I thought, yeah, I could probably do that. That sounds quite good, yeah. So I went to university with the intention of writing a novel, and it just obviously that didn't happen. I can't write a novel, but
well, I keep telling myself I can write a novel, and I've tried at least two different styles, and I'm 12,000 words in, and I go, what am I doing again?
I could definitely plan a novel. It's just the fitting of words.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got a 4-page like breakdown for the book that I was meant to do, which is like paragraph to paragraph of like this chapter, this happens, this chapter, this happens. But can I actually write that? No, I don't know what's wrong with me. So yeah, we've got a few poems. You've got three individual poems,
yes,
and then one which is a series that go together.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Looking forward to that. I think before we get into the poems, though, perhaps a little drink?
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a little bottle of Jura here. Just make a small one for you, so I know you're new to it, right?
I am, yes. Can you get away with having a guest who is a whiskey virgin on Whiskey and Words?
I have had more than you'd expect. Yeah. I think that's... Because the thing is, it's not for everyone, is it? It's very much... You acquire a taste for it or you're into it. In the same way with coffee or wine, you can do all the elaborate tastings and things, or you can just kind of like it.
Yeah.
So, cheers.
Cheers. Oh, it's tasty. Mm.
It's quite sweet, isn't it? It's got a kind of a like a subtle kind of harshness to it, which is I quite like that hit you get, but I always forget how sweet it smells though.
I could get into that.
Yeah? Well, this is day one. This is day one of starting you on the path.
My whiskey journey.
Thank you. Well, that is it is called Origin.
Oh,
whiskey, so there you go.
Very apt.
There you go. Well done, Jura. Very well done. Like I saw that coming. Yeah. Cool. So, at the risk of diving straight into the good stuff, do you think we can hear your first poem?
Well, you can, yes.
Yes, please.
The first poem that I'm going to read is called Analysis. You want his pieces to take him apart, put him together, change his chemistries. You want to burn your bridge, see whether it snaps or crystallizes. If you have to ask yourself, is this real? Is it real? If you have to think about it, doubt yourself, change your mind. Does it make your love inconsequential or withstanding?
I like that. I like the just the how you can get it across in such a short space of time. Quite a powerful little message. I feel like in that one, the narrator's kind of testing whether, like, in particular, a relationship, is what I got from it, is worthy of continuation by putting it through, like, a trial.
Yeah.
And whether that's, you know, in real life or whether it's just in their mind. But do you think that the idea of breaking something down like that in order to maybe build it back up again is a fitting metaphor for the writing process as well? I mean, the idea of testing the worthiness of an idea through sort of constant evaluation through it.
I mean, it definitely is my writing style to break everything down. I quite like taking out as many words as I can from a poem, see how few words I can get an idea across, and then I'll sort of build it back up from there. So... I mean, I look at each individual word and I'll remove it and see if it's better without it or if it's better with a different word. And a very well-used thesaurus.
Yeah.
Well, I say a well-used thesaurus, but a well-used online thesaurus.
Yes, of course.
But it would be cool to have sort of a very well-thumbed thesaurus lying around. But I do tend to break my poems down, and I'm not too precious about them when I'm first starting, when I first do a draft, because I usually write a first draft quite quickly, and then it takes the time then to make it from that into a sort of a finished poem. And I will sort of write a few different poems, then sort of get them all out and take bits from each one and maybe just combine them into one, so they all sort of get broken down and built back up into a finished article.
I mean, I respect that kind of approach, because I know I'm someone who is, I'm very precious with my writing.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I write it, I'm then very loath to start picking it apart and stuff. And I think that's, you know, I've spoken before in an early episode about the importance of getting feedback and making changes,
definitely,
and doing those things. And it's one of my real weaknesses. But it's nice that if you go into that creation with that idea already in mind, that you're going to work at a kind of a minimal level. You're going to cut it down as much as you can and then build on it from there. And you have that kind of sense of not being precious about how it ends up, because you know it's going to be different and all the rest of it. I think that's quite admirable in a way to write.
Yeah, I mean, I always have an idea of what I want the poem to portray, and it's usually like a minute or a second, and it really sort of delves into that, which is why I'm no good at writing longer things, because I just get caught up in one moment, and then it's boring to read that for a novel. But I'm quite precious about the idea of where I want it to go, but not so much about the words around it that sort of make it into a poem.
So you've got the end result in mind,
but how you
get there is kind of...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. No, that's quite cool. Mm. Yeah, I think that there are so many different processes, aren't there? So many different ways of approaching the same end result, which is to have a written work.
Yeah.
You know, you can either go the full way where you start off as minimal as possible, or you can, you know, make it as huge and verbose and then cut it all down, mm-hmm. or somewhere in between.
Yeah, I mean, I knew somebody who wrote their poetry quite painstakingly, and where they would consider each word, it would take them weeks to write a line, but when they had finished it, it was done and it was finished and it didn't need any editing, but they so carefully thought about each word before putting it in, it took such a long time, whereas I will write a first draft of something and then discard nearly all of it and rebuild it.
But I think that's it. There are the different ways, and you find which way works for you.
Yeah.
And you think that if, you know, I think that I probably lean more towards the former of those two. Like, I'll write something and I'll overthink it while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And then kind of hopefully do a bit less editing afterwards. Whether it needs more editing or not is a different matter, but I put less editing into it. But no, I think I think what I enjoy most about writing is that you can do it in so many different ways.
Yeah.
You know, and
definitely.
And everyone can have a very different approach and still achieve great results. Yeah. So in your... I'm always intrigued by writing degree courses. Namely, because I didn't do one.
Oh.
So I always wondered, was there a way that they taught? Was it sort of, a, you know, when it came to, for instance, poetry, was there a style that they told you about, to made you do, or a way of editing that they made you do?
Not particularly. I mean, quite a lot of the course was sort of literature-based and studies on other styles, and then you would sort of be told to write something in, not in a style, but in a short story or a script or a poem, and you could interpret the prompt however you wanted. And the good thing about the course that I did was the first year didn't count towards your degree, so you didn't get any module points, or you didn't get anything, so you were really free to do whatever you wanted, basically, and sort of ease into it. And then after that, your work started getting marked, so you had to sort of get a bit better at it.
Yeah. But you had that year to kind of find your feet with it, I guess.
Yeah, because I suppose it's quite difficult to... there's a lot of difference between writing for fun and writing for something that's going to be sort of judged by somebody and marked, and then it's your degree mark that's based around something so subjective. But we had different tutors for different styles, and you sort of got paired with a tutor that closely matched your style, so you were sort of encouraged just to do what you wanted.
That's good.
But to try the other aspects of writing that you maybe don't like, and then you could sort of specialise further down the degree.
It's interesting you mentioned that about the sort of being paired up with someone of a similar kind of style. A friend of mine named Daryl, who's currently doing a creative writing degree, he's been paired up with a mentor at the University of Hong Kong.
Oh
yeah, who's kind of his writing mentor, and Daryl's working on a fantasy novel at the moment, which I'm excited about. So I like the idea that they go, okay, you're kind of like this person, so they can work with you.
Yeah.
Because I imagine, I mean, you're right, with it being, you know, there aren't many things more subjective than creative writing. And if you're sending it to somebody who totally doesn't like the genre you're working in or the style that you're working in, then of course they're never going to give you a good result, are they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, a real challenge for it.
I imagine it's quite hard to mark the work and to sort of break it down and analyze it in a way that makes it seem like there's a process behind whether you've liked it or not.
So with that, you've got all the poems that you've got in here. I like them. I like that they are an interesting selection as well of different types of subjects and things as well. The next one you've got, would you be able to read that one for us?
I can do.
Thank you.
The next one is called Collision. Your voice drives with each beat as it pounds blood through your veins, swirling past your organs, cobalt and pillarbox rushing past each other, train lines twisting over the crisscross tracks of your body. Steam hisses down your nerves, condensing on your palms. Wipe them off, shed skin. Your voice is stubborn, stuck in your throat like a toddler's, arms folded, your lips pursed, barreling towards the barriers, eyes squeezed shut, fractures of wood splinter your face.
Thank you. With that one, I got kind of a violence from that one. It was kind of hard to define. because it felt very, very fast-paced. It was very, you know, that final imagery with wood splintering in the face. It was all like that. Do you think that sort of violent language sort of wrapped around a more sort of sensitive and delicate subject can help to get a more emotional reaction in poetry?
I think so. I mean, quite a lot of my poems are quite sort of violent or quite dark anyway, but I think if you're going to write a poem about sort of loving someone, which is what this one is supposed to be, I think there's a certain sort of violence to sort of colliding with a person and intertwining your life with them. And it's not always, you know, flowery and lovely and whatever. And there's quite a lot of times where you would think, oh, I hate them. So I think it's a scary and intense thing to love somebody. And in this poem, it's supposed to be the idea of saying to somebody that you love them for the first time. And that is a very scary thing to do if you don't know what the response is going to be. And it's just like you're sort of hurtling towards something and you've got to do it now, and you're either going to absolutely smash into something and it'd be awful, or it would be quite nice.
Yeah.
I
like that. I like the idea of it being, it's more the intensity rather than the violence, and that the poem here is you're careening towards something.
Yeah. There's no way to get up.
The end result could be positive or negative, you don't know. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to try and merge things, you know, like loving someone and hating somebody, or loving someone so much that it's terrifying. Because not everything is black and white, not everything is you fall in love and you have a happy life and you live forever or what, you know, with that person. It's you fall in love and then you fall out of love and then you hate them and then you...
Yeah.
That sort of thing. It's not everything's black and white. There's a lot of grey area, and I think it's more interesting to relate to a poem that sort of lives within the grey area rather than, you know, although I do quite like reading love sonnets and poems and that are all very flowery and, oh, you must love them so much because you've written this poem. But I think in reality, it's not always that way.
Well, you're right. That grey area gives you kind of more scope to move, doesn't it? Because you can explore the happier things or the not so happy things. Yeah. You don't have to be stuck in one place with it.
Yeah, I think it's a more interesting place to live in the grey area.
Yeah. So as well, I mean, I know you're focused here on poetry particularly, and of course you mentioned doing that in your course. When it comes to writing other forms, are there other types that you enjoy, or is your enjoyment mostly fixed in poetry?
I just enjoy... If I'm going to write prose, I enjoy describing a scene. So I write sort of very descriptive, very visual pieces, but they're always very short and very focused on sort of one moment. So it makes it difficult to write a story, with a beginning and a middle and an end, because I always get so focused on one scene or one moment, and it takes me ages to describe, you know, what the walls are like and what it smells like and what it feels like and if it's cold or if it's hot or and it's, you know, it's interesting to read, it's very visual and descriptive, but it's not very interesting and there's no plot. I'm not very good at plot.
Right. I think I'm quite the opposite. I find with my writing that I'm not very descriptive, and I think I probably should be more so. You know, I can get the story going and make the story go somewhere, but I don't really explain what's happening along the way or how it looks.
Yeah.
And I think that, that's one of my pitfalls. So it's interesting that yours is kind of the way around.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to think of plots before and tried to think of a novel, and I planned a whole novel when I was younger, and it was going to be very, very interesting. And it was going to be about murders, and people would get murdered based on their name. So someone would get someone with the name A and then B and then C, and I wrote it all out, and then I thought I've definitely heard of that before, and it's already a book.
Do they call them the Alphabet Killer? I hope they do.
I was going to call mine the Alphabet Killer, but I think it's the ABC Murders by Agatha Christie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, close. Well done,
Agatha. And they get murdered in succession. So I couldn't do that.
Well done, Agatha. Yeah. Well done. Now, so I think that it is right, isn't it? I've said before that they say there's only 7 stories, and you just write them differently.
Yeah.
And the idea that Agatha Christie's already had that idea means that you were in good company.
But mine was very exactly the same. It was very plagiarised without me realising.
And you never read it?
I have read it, yeah, but I must have read it quite a few years before and I've sort of forgotten about it. And then when I was reading back my ideas, I thought, that sounds very familiar. Then I went and read the book again and thought, well, I can't write that.
Well, I had a similar experience with a story that I was writing, mm-hmm. where I shared it. I think I shared it in the group where we met. Mm-hmm. And someone was like, it really reminds me of something. And they were like thinking of it through everyone else was sharing different pieces. And they came back about 20 minutes later like, oh, have you read this book? Because it has this, this, this. And I was like, no. Like, I genuinely never read that.
Oh.
And yet somehow I totally plagiarized it. And I had no idea because it's that thing where realizing that it was the same kind of story, I'm like, well, I can't really do anything with that story now.
Yeah.
But also, I definitely didn't read it, so I have no idea where it came from. I just had the same idea.
Just must... Great minds.
That's it. Speaking of great minds, let's hear what yours produced. Can we hear your next poem,
please? You can. The next poem is called Cobble Landing, and it's based in a sort of small fishing town, seaside town in North Yorkshire, called Filey, which is, I spent a lot of time there as a child, and that's quite, you know, that place holds quite a lot of inspiration for me. So I wrote this. Fishing boats tower above you, blue nets slung over the sides, trailing down to the floor. Your nose is cold from the fish air swirling against your head. Scarf wrapped around thrice, unsteady feet on cobbles, stumbling towards the cages filled with clicking crabs. Droplets of icy spray catch your forehead. Grey waves stretch endlessly, meeting with the overcast sky, leaving you with the boats.
Thank you. So with that poem, I mean, you've just mentioned as well that you've based it on a real place that you've been. And it seems, and I've not been to that place, so I can't speak for it, but it seems to describe a place that is quite unforgiving. It's sort of a grey sky, cold water, unsteady footing, those kind of things. But it also seems to have a sense of happiness to it and kind of a positivity in that same place. So how enjoyable do you find it to be as a poet where you can kind of take two kind of conflicting ideas like that and marry them together to make something that makes people think?
I think it's quite interesting to, you know, to try and merge opposite things. So you can be in the harshest of landscapes, but there's always something there that you could find joy in or that you could find beauty in. So I think it's quite... I mean, for this poem in particular, it is based on a real place, and it's one that I used to visit as a child, visiting my grandparents. And, you know, we had really nice days in the summer, and we would go to the front, to where the beach is, and have ice creams and do all that. But the days that always stuck with me as seeming the most sort of beautiful and the most joyful to me are the days where we went in winter. You would have to get really wrapped up in, you know, big coats and scarves and hats, and you'd walk down and you'd sort of walk across the sand, which had all been compacted down by the rain, and everything was sort of grey, and it's probably quite an unpleasant place, really, if you did it, but that's always been some of my favourite memories as a child and then sort of as a grown-up. So, I mean, most of my poems are based in a bleak landscape, in a grey... I mean, it doesn't always make it into the final thing, the description of the surroundings, but they do tend to be set on sort of a cold beach.
Well, if that's where you take your inspiration, then run with it. So, yeah. And that being a real place, has it inspired other poems or other tales based in that same kind of location?
Yeah, I mean, nearly all of my work is probably set there or set, you know, there are elements of that and they're not all set by the beach. But I just think when people think of a beach and the scene, going to the seaside, you would think sort of, you know, lovely white sands and blue sea, blue sky and palm trees, and it's all very sunny and lovely. But I would much rather go to a cold beach in winter in the UK with a scarf wrapped around my face like 5 times because it's freezing. But that's sort of my favourite place to be, so that makes it easy to write joy into places like that. Whereas I think I would struggle to write somewhere sort of very stereotypically paradise-y. But it's always interesting to try and to try and sort of butt two things together that shouldn't go together.
Yeah. Well, you get people's attention that way, don't you?
Yeah.
If you're reading through and you're like, well, hang on, how can this person be enjoying this? It sounds this, and, you know, and it makes people kind of consider it and think, what more is there behind the scenes?
Mm.
Because there must be something more to it if you can still find enjoyment in something that seems so unenjoyable. Yeah. Yeah. So do you think that, is that kind of where you get most of your inspiration from, do you think? Places? Or is it objects? Is it emotions? Is it experiences? Where do you think you draw the most from?
It's usually to sort of kickstart an idea in a poem. It's usually music and songs, but not specifically genres or things. It's just a word or a phrase that might be sort of spoken in the songs, and I'll sort of seize on that. For example, the other day I was listening to a song and I can't remember which one it was, but they said reckless, it's just part of the song, and I just sort of seized on that, and now I've started a whole thing around just that one word, and have sort of built up a character from that. And but they always tend to be set in Filey.
But do you have a first draft that you want to share with us, or
I don't. I just have an idea.
Oh well. Yeah.
I can tell you the general gist.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be about it's usually my poems are about girls, because I'm a girl and I find that easiest to write about, and she's lost her love, and so that's made her excessively reckless, and she's going to go out. And I mean, I build up a whole character around these people. She's going to go out and she's going to sort of sleep with lots of different men and get herself in quite dangerous situations just because she's so sad and she wants to feel something. But the poem will end up just being about 5 seconds against a wall or something.
Well, I think if you can put that kind of the emotion in that whole story into that short space of time, then I think it's great. I think that you can get that all across, and it can be quite a powerful thing.
Yeah.
If you do it right.
Yeah.
So speaking of powerful things, you've got a collection of, it's four poems, isn't it? It's four poems that are in themselves individual, but work great together.
Yes.
So it'd be great if you could read those for me, please.
I can, yeah. It's as you said, it's a collection of four poems. The overall collection is entitled Elements, which is very, what's the word?
Elemental.
I don't know. Boring, I guess, because they're about the elements. It's a very lazy title.
I think that you want the title to indicate what you're doing and what it's going to be about. And it's, I think that there's probably more to it. You could, you're a poet. You could read more in that title if you wanted to, I think.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah. So I'll read each one. I'll read them in order, and I'll just do a pause in between to indicate when the next one starts with the individual title. Cool. Yeah. So the first one's called Salt Water. Does it feel like you're drowning? Can you feel the tide as it sloshes in your lungs? Who will show you how to breathe? Taste the salt water on your tongue. Pull yourself away from pink coral and tiny yellow fishes. Sapphire bubbles float above your head, shimmer from your lips. Drag up onto grey sands, gunmetal skies, the black gulls circling overhead. Try to remember how you used to breathe before you leapt into the water. Smoke. Does it feel like you're burning? Can you feel your skin as it blisters on your bones? Fling yourself in, let the flames tongue your feet. Black smoke kisses leaving prints on your arms. Licks of orange reflected in your pupils, that wide-eyed stare gives up your panic. Yellow flickers lap your shoulders, who will quench the fire? Inch from the embers, blackened and burned flesh, cracked lips, smoke unfurling from your lungs. Dirt. Does it feel like you're buried? Can you feel your chest crushing around your ribcage? Listen to the tiny bones in your neck snap under pressure. Arms trapped against your sides, dirt pressing in around you. Blink out the dust, shallow breaths with soil on your tongue. Red pinpricks dot your eyes. Fuzzy vision, cloudy head. Brain submerged in terror. Oxygen leaches out into the earth. Gasp up out of the ground. Vacuum. Does it feel like you're choking? Can you feel your throat gluing itself together? Breath sticks in your lungs, unable to find its way to the surface. Claw at your neck, gouge out the obstruction. Useless fingernails barely scratch the skin. Hopeless attempts to gulp down air. Your brain feebly protests its needs. Fluttery fingertips and eyelids. Fear succumbs. Euphoria ascends. Bursting from your mouth. Wind blasts down your windpipe. Sets fire to your heart.
Thank you. I like these because they all kind of have their own unique brutality in the way that they're explaining torment for somebody. So were they all written together, or did one spawn the next? You know, do you intend to have a collection like this, or were they going to be individual things?
I didn't intend for them to be a collection to start with. I started with Saltwater, and that was just supposed to be a standalone poem about how, you know, sort of depression can feel like you're drowning, and then it came more literal to what it would be like to drown and what physical reactions you would have to that. And then I think I was reading something where there were the four elements included in some way, and I thought, you know, that could be more about water, and then I could do one about, you know, earth and fire and air. So then salt water became less of a sort of metaphor for depression and more of a literal what it would feel like to drown and what it would feel like to be burned alive and buried and, you know, have no air.
All very, very cheery things.
Yes, yeah. Very cheery things.
No, I think I like the fact that it started off as that kind of an interpretation of depression.
Yes.
And I think that can still very much be read from all of them.
Yes. I suppose it's different people's reaction to it, and everyone feels differently if they're depressed. So it was, they probably, you could see, for anybody with depression, you could probably see your own struggle in one of them.
Mm. And you put across four very different things, which in themselves are all terrible, but they're all different in the way that they are. And I think that's a nice metaphor for how different illnesses or conditions can affect people in very wildly different ways, but still also be equally bad for everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
That's weird. It's hard to say that you like something when it is so bleak, but also I really love the way it's been written. I those four together, I think that you're right. When you put it alongside a metaphor about something that's a bit, there's something significant. You know, depression is a huge, huge topic, a huge issue for a lot of people, and it's one that people don't really know about, don't really talk about.
Yeah.
And if you can, you know, establish it in a kind of, is it kind of like this?
Yeah.
Are these kind of what you're experiencing? If so, you should look into something else. You know, it's a kind of an eye opener.
I guess I think it's difficult to know if you have depression or if you're just having a bad day, and a lot of people I imagine would feel, well, you know, I'm overreacting, I don't need to go to the doctor. But to put it down as sort of physical symptoms, I think it would probably make people think, you know, if they did feel like, you know, the chest was crushing around their ribcage because they were buried underground, then you'd probably go.
Yeah, you want to find out what was doing that.
Yeah.
Well, it reminded me that there's a writer from our group, a young lady called Katie Plant, and she wrote a great poem about, was it a poem? It was kind of somewhere in between, wasn't it? It was quite a free verse, about anxiety and sort of what that felt like and what, you know, how, if that manifested itself as a real thing, what that would feel like. And it was fantastic. And I think that, you know, in a different style, with definitely a somewhat darker tone, you've approached it, you know, a similar kind of way. And I like that. I like the kind of, that almost sort of social conscience to them that I think you can get from poetry, probably a lot more than you can get from prose.
Yeah.
Because poetry generally is a far more personal thing.
Mm.
You know, I read a poem, I interpret it differently than if you read a different poem and interpreted it. Probably. Usually.
Yeah, probably.
So is there an idea now to put together a collection? I mean, if you've been writing poems for a good long while now and you've got different styles and stuff, are you gonna assemble them into a collection and go forward with that, do you think?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, I've not got an active intention to do it, but maybe if I could gather enough together and put them together. I mean, I've had this idea in my head for a little while now to put some together and have them published, you know, online. You can get books made up as sort of a gift for my mum, but I suppose if I'm going to do that, I may as well. But they'd have to be super perfect to pull them out into the world.
You know your process, at least. You know your process. Yeah, you know what you need to do. If it's a gift for your mum, I don't know if I'd lead with elements.
Yeah, no, I probably won't put that one in yet.
But no, I think it's a great story. I think that the poems that you've chosen today, and I know that mm-hmm. you've got many more, of course, besides that, are a wonderful indication of what you can do as a writer and what you've achieved with that. And it's, you know, I've got a lot of respect for poetry in general anyway. So the fact that you've got these here that you've shared today, which have all got very different messages,
yeah.
very different origins, but still produce that kind of wow moment when someone reads them is really, really lovely.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing them today, Gemma. I really appreciate those. You can find Gemma online, gemmaereed.wordpress.com, if you want to check out some of Gemma's poems.
You can.
And you can see what more there is in store. So thank you very much. Thank you to Jura for Origin. Nice little drop to have while we do it.
It was.
And I look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you.
And thanks, and we hope to see you all again out there next time.